Good afternoon and welcome. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. Baltimore is the birthplace of one of America's largest and most popular public programs. The Social Security Administration issued its very first Social Security numbers in the 1930s, right here from the Candler Building in Baltimore's Inner Harbor. The main office of Social Security is in Woodlawn in Baltimore County, and there have been plenty of reporting to suggest that the scene at SSA since Donald Trump returned to the office of president has been chaotic and unsettled. Former Governor Martin O'Malley led the Social Security Administration for about a year. Towards the end of the Joe Biden presidency, he's been warning that staffing cuts and other problems at the agency could mean significant interruptions in service, including checks not being sent to recipients. Former Governor Martin O'Malley joins me in Studio A. It's been a minute. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you again, Tom. Thanks for caring about this, as I do.
And it's a lot of people have evidently reason to care. When you're talking about the time frame for, you know, these cuts that have already occurred at Social Security and when they will start manifesting problems, what are you thinking about?
Well, what I'm thinking about are the people that I had the honor to lead and to work with at Social Security, the second largest employer, by the way, in the Baltimore metro area. And so many families, some of them legacy families, you know, mom or dad worked at Social Security and their sons or daughters worked there too. So I learned from a very highly skilled senior executive service. And one of the things that honestly surprised me when I got there was, I had heard that they were suffering from reductions in staffing, which had been 9 years in the making. And as a former, mayor of Baltimore, as a recessionary governor, I kind of rolled my eyes at that and thought, this federal agency with a $1.4 trillion annual spend certainly can't have really a problem with staffing. And yet I found that all of the challenges that were manifesting itself in, declining and customer service were all driven, and improper payments and so many other things, were driven by the fact that Congress had reduced their staffing to a 50-year low. And then Doge...
And this was all happening before Trump was reelected.
This was before. Part of my job when I would travel to Washington is kind of educate up our members of Congress that, look, this is what you've done to this agency over the last 9 years. And to their credit, they turned everything in a better direction by the end of the Biden administration. Timeliness of service, whether it was reducing the 42.5-minute wait time on the 1-800 number down to 12.5 minutes or so many others I could go through. But this is what happened. Around about the end of January, Donald Trump's administration unleashed Elon Musk and these young men from Doge, and they took over Social Security. They forced to resign a very capable person, a woman named Michelle King, that they had as the acting commissioner. She had been the head of operations when I was there and had been, a civil servant all through the Trump years, high up under his former administration person. But they pretty much forced her out, put in a puppet Social Security commissioner.
And she left because of a dispute over access to very sensitive information that obviously Social Security has.
That's right. One of the things I learned about the culture of the place is that those people at Social Security throughout the country, they will defend the privacy of records like a sacred oath. In fact, it is a sacred oath. So when Michelle King was told that one of the people five down in the organization had been sharing data with the Doge team, and the Doge team kept demanding unfettered access to the data, and they didn't have a justification for it. They hadn't passed background checks. Michelle refused to do it. In fact, she had placed that guy, the one that was sharing information, on administrative leave pending an investigation. And then by the end of the weekend, President's Day weekend, she was forced to resign. And guess who they put in to replace her? The guy who was on administrative leave pending an investigation.
Leland Dudek. Right?
Leland Dudek. And now... they have reduced the size of that agency by at least 7,000. I think they will go down to 10,000. There's a couple thousand who said, yeah, we'll take a reassignment, but they're just really kind of stringing it out. And get this, they're doing it. They're paying people with our dollars, Tom. Dollars we've paid into Social Security. They're paying these staff to leave. And one of the areas that they have most viciously gone after, well, they totally eliminated the Office of Civil Rights and Equal Opportunity, the office to whom you would complain if there were a hostile work environment being created. Well, they've created a hostile work environment throughout the agency. But they have cut in half now the IT department at Social Security, the systems. Not only that foundational COBOL-based old system, but all of the applications built on top of it that allow this insurance company to process claims and to make sure that in four different pay cycles every month, the people that are in pay status, that those records are kind of washed against whatever changes have been made to them, like withholding of your, you know, for your tax purposes, or change of address, change of direct deposit. Maybe you had a life change. Maybe spouse died. All of those changes then go every week, about one quarter of the 73 million, it's like 17, 18 million, go to Treasury, and then they go out in checks. And they go through a narrow aperture called the Office of Benefit Information Systems. And we take for granted, because they've never missed a monthly payment in through the Second World War, didn't miss it during the pandemic. But what I said back around February, when they started going so viciously after Social Security, I said in the next 30 to 90 days, you're going to see some interruption of benefits for the first time in the 90-year history of this agency.
And that'll be caused because, like, I talked to a union rep, a guy named Shelley Washington.
Shelley Washington.
Who's been there for a long time and is one of the few people who knows the COBOL system, which is an ancient programming system. It's 60 years old. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, when I leave and the other people who work with me leave, there's nobody to come behind me. They don't even teach COBOL anymore.
Right.
So as long as the system stays ancient, it's going to be really difficult to find anybody who can run the system. And so who will that affect? Is there a certain category of people receiving Social Security benefits that won't get them? How's it going to work? Do you have any idea?
I don't think anybody's really immune. If you're in pay status, it all has to go through Social Security and people get paid out. There's a bit of a myth that, oh, once I'm in pay status, it just keeps coming automatically. And it seems automatic.
It used to be a myth. I mean, yeah. It used to be something you could rely on.
Yeah, it's a sacred promise. It's why it's such a trusted agency. But the kind of the mile markers along the way that you can see is that, you know, we're seeing an exodus of more staffers in a shorter period of time than you ever have before, including for the first time ever, cutting in half the people that maintain those old systems and the other systems built on top of that old COBOL system that you mentioned. Then you've seen now all of the timeliness indicators, you know, the time to get an appointment, the time to answer the phone, the time to process a claim, all of those that had been going in a much, much better direction last year. And you've seen all of them reversed. They're all starting to spike in the wrong direction. Then we saw, actually now in hindsight, intermittent outages of, say, the MySSA.gov accounts. The people, you know, they've gone down more periodically. There have been outages of the ability to process claims. You'll see those becoming more regular and lasting of a longer duration. And ultimately, there can be ticked off a domino effect, a cascading effect that can lead to an entire system outage. That happened twice while I was there. And it was, and keep in mind, then we were trying to keep people from quitting, not encourage them to
right.
quit. And we got them.
The agency was already understaffed, as far as you could tell.
It was at a 50-year low, with baby boomers like you and me swelling its beneficiary ranks to an all-time high every day, a new all-time high every day. And we got it back up within 3 days. There was no interruption of benefits. But I don't know what your first car was like. Mine was a 1972 Pontiac Catalina. It was old. It required maintenance. And all of the people that understand how to maintain that COBOL, not all of them, half of the people that understood how to maintain that COBOL system And it's not only understanding how to code, it's understanding how it's put together with the other systems on top of that system. And they've all been exited, told don't let the door hit your backside on the way out. And if you were retirement eligible, who were some of those with the greatest experience, they would pay you for the entire year if you will leave today. It's probably the biggest intentional waste of money in the history of SSA.
Yeah, the so-called buyouts, right.
Yeah, the buyouts. And so that's where we stand right now. I don't have a meat thermometer in this. I can't tell you exactly when. I don't know how long it will be down. I don't know if it'll affect just one of those pay cycles and they'll catch it up, or, you know, like a conveyor belt, if it'll start, you know, backing up on it. But the Doge kids seem to have this notion. They said about 30 days ago that they're going to have a whole new system up and going in 60 days. And we know that their backgrounds are inclined to believe that you just have to let legacy systems crash so that then people have no choice but to go to a new system.
Or that AI is going to run the whole thing. Now, but what do you say? The Republicans will tell you, or will say, oh, O'Malley's just Chicken Little, you know, the sky is falling, and, you know, there's clearly waste, fraud, abuse. It's a huge government agency. One assumes all manner of waste, fraud, and abuse. The Doge people are just simply cleaning things up.
Yeah, well,
how
good.
Do you respond?
Let's play Big Lies, but before we do that, I think it's worth underscoring the fact that Mike Astor, who was George Bush's secretary, or rather Commissioner of Social Security, has also said that these cuts are putting beneficiaries' checks at risk. So I'm not the only one.
You're not the only one. Right.
And the people I talked to and that I worked with there at the agency, including many who have left the agency, who spent their whole lives in IT. Let's go on to the big lies. I hope I'm wrong. I hope it doesn't crash. I hope maybe the Doge kids are so damn impressive that they have a whole new system up and going in 30 days, and it is a paragon, a pillar of excellence in customer service and data record management. I hope so, but all we've seen from them so far is incompetence, bumbling, and declaring people dead falsely inside that database, which, oh, by the way, each one of those is a crime. It's a crime to put false information onto a Social Security record. And that's what they've done, at least so far, 6,600 times. And they're asking for more and more and terminating the financial lives of people. But let's break down the should we do a drum roll and we'll do
sure.
the big lies?
Sure.
I feel like I've been doing more town halls on Social Security as the
former commissioner
than I ever did as commissioner.
You were in Long Island. I mean, you've been all sorts of places around the country talking to constituents, and they're concerned.
People are very concerned. The democracy's woken up to the threat, and they're not wrong to be focused on it. So here's some of the big lies told right off the bat. Elon Musk, who also believes that government itself is a Ponzi scheme, says that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. Social Security is not a Ponzi scheme. Bitcoin might be a Ponzi scheme, but not Social Security. Social Security is a pay-as-you-go program, which is why it has gone on for 90 years, unlike any Ponzi scheme. 90 years, and that's because, Tom, the same dollars that people pay in a given year are the same dollars that get paid out that year to the beneficiaries. And then because of what they knew in 1982 was a big demographic bubble of us baby boomers coming along, Congress, we the people, our representatives, had built up a $2.7 trillion reserve to cover the difference between the dollars coming in and the dollars going out for the duration of this time. It is that surplus reserve, and it's the only agency that has a $2.6 trillion surplus reserve. Department of Defense doesn't do that. Department of Agriculture doesn't do that. It is the depletion of that sooner than they had anticipated that's allowed people to say, not entirely true, in fact, not true, that Social Security is going bankrupt, which is the other big lie. Nope, Social Security is not going bankrupt.
So it's not insolvent, you know, right over the other side of the mountain.
If you had a family business and your sister, who's your accountant, told you by 2035 we're going to have a 17% shortfall in income, You wouldn't immediately run out to the front of your business, plaster it with a bankrupt going out of business sign, would you? No, you'd make an adjustment. And that's what Congress does.
But that's a shortage of income. We're not talking about insolvency. We're it's going to be less money coming in because of the working age population.
Well, less money coming in.
And more beneficiaries.
Well, actually, it's the, now we're getting into actuarial show. Partly not really. I mean, here's that 2035 thing. It is the depletion of that surplus reserve that they had hoped would last the retirement lifetimes of us baby boomers. But what they didn't see coming was that after 1983, so many changes happened to the tax code that it pushed earned income in the United States for the next 40 years into the top 2 or 3% of Americans mostly, and therefore fewer dollars were paid into Social Security, so that trust fund reserve wasn't built up as much as they thought. But Social Security operates on a 75-year forecast. Do you operate on that? Do I? No, human beings don't usually operate on a 75-year forecast. But that's the strength of Social Security. So Congress can always see where we are on that trajectory, and every 30, 40 years they make adjustments. That's what they need to do again. The other big, as they try to wreck Social Security's reputation with all of these fraud allegations, one of them that they voiced early was there are 20 million people, the walking dead, receiving checks. Not true. Not true at all. This has been audited.
And there's plenty of reporting to that effect. I mean, you know, the press has picked up on that and looked into it, and it isn't true.
Isn't true. Inspector Generals, every year, year in and year out, we look at that. Yes, for about 800 people, maybe they send checks for another 2 or 3 months when anomalies happen. But it's all automated, the 50 states and the territories. And so the other big lie, so little time and so many lies. The other big lie is that illegal immigrants are bankrupting Social Security. If you happen to live in a swing
state. They're paying in, actually.
Right. If you happen to live in a swing state like Pennsylvania or Wisconsin, you were bombarded with these postcards that said the Democrats want to let in more illegal immigrants and they're going to bankrupt Social Security. The truth is illegal immigrants, so-called people working here outside of legal status, do not receive any benefits, are prohibited from receiving any benefits, but they pay in $25 billion into Social Security. There's another big lie, which is that it doesn't work and it never has worked. Not true. It's inefficient and wasteful. Not true. Prior to 2015, Social Security operated on an overhead of, guess what, 1.2%. Do you know how that compares to a private company like Allstate? Allstate's 19%. Liberty Mutual, Liberty Biberty, is 23% overhead. Social Security operated very well at just 1.2%. They've now been reduced to less than 1%.
Did you spend much time looking at places for, you know, efficiencies and cost cutting?
All the time.
And what did you find? I mean, there, in any business, there are places where you could say, no, we could do this cheaper, we can do this faster, we can do this more efficiently, we can do it more cost effectively.
Yeah, what I found was an agency that because it's all people and all systems, it's probably like 80% staffing, people serving people, whether it's the people answering the phones, whether it's the people in the field offices, the 1,211 of them, or it's the people that run the largest adjudicatory body in the free world, that is to say the administrative law judges and the clerks and the decision writers that handle the disability things. What I found was an agency that had been so reduced in staffing to a 50-year low that it was everything they could do to keep their nose above water. What's another metaphor? It was as if the escalator kept moving down on them faster because of the growing workloads, and they had to run up that escalator and sprint up that escalator. But I did find the reason why we were able to turn around all of those metrics was because every 2 weeks we implemented a program called Security Stat, not unlike what we did here in the city of Baltimore with City Stat or the state with State Stat. And we got into an agile system of governance so that every 2 weeks there were about 15 deputy commissioners and subject matter experts. We live streamed it to 120 senior executive people. all across the country, as well as to our oversight committees, Democrats and Republicans in Congress, so they could see us untangling and identifying opportunities where we could shrink process waste out of the timeline of these various service delivery things, whether it was the speed to answer the phone or the time it takes to process a disability claim. Some of those improvements were about technique. Some of them were about standardizing process. We knew that we could save even more time if we could modernize some of these old IT systems, but it's not like Congress offset the cuts to staffing with big increases to the IT budget. So we identified all sorts of ways to shrink the process waste out of the system. But the big challenge, and the challenge that remains today, is that they've just cut the staffing way below what's required for this many customers.
And some of the theories, the approaches to reforming Social Security, changing, you know, improving Social Security, whatever adjective or verb you want to use, call for things like means testing. There's a lot of Democrats are, you know, let's say if you're one of those 1 or 2% types making, you know, or with assets that are in the millions and billions, you don't need Social Security to live your life. So let's means test some people out of the system. Whether that's a good idea or not is a conversation for a different day. But that would take even more people. That would take the strain on the staffing there would be greatly increased, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
How are they going to figure out who's eligible and who's not?
Right. Recently went on this way, and one of the last bills that President Biden signed out of the lame duck session of the Congress was a big expansion of Social Security to people that, you know, in some states they opt out of it, and so there was a perceived unfairness where firefighters, teachers, police in some states got a lesser benefit. So when President Biden signed that into law, it in essence created 3 million underpayments that had to be processed and no money in it for the staffing necessary to effectuate it. You asked about things we did differently. You know, Social Security also takes Medicare claims. And
right.
We came up with an automated process that shrank that time from 8 minutes down to 8 seconds. There's a lot of things that can be. This is what I find. I mean, in this conversation right now, we're talking both about the operations and customer service, and we're talking about the long-term health of
right.
the system. We could do an hour-long talk on either one of the two of those. They're both, though, solvable problems. So this notion that, and in the old days, you're right, people, one side of the debate would usually say, why don't we raise the age? Why don't we reduce the benefits? Why don't we mean test things?
Privatize. Yeah,
right.
All sorts of ideas.
And then the other side, you know, would have their ideas. And there's been a bill put in every year in terms of that, you know, long-term 75-year forecast and making sure there's not the dip in 2035, put in by Congressman Larson from Connecticut. A lot of people don't appreciate the fact that whether you're a billionaire or whether you're somebody that makes $170,000 a year, you pay the same amount into Social Security because there's a cap on Social Security, which as a practical matter means somebody driving a bus in Baltimore pays all through the year, every paycheck into Social Security, whereas someone like Warren Buffett or Elon Musk stop paying anything more into Social Security about 2 seconds after the ball drops in Times Square on New Year's. And most people think that's not fair, and that once people, higher earners, make more than, say, half a million dollars
a
year,
they should
start paying in. There's no, you know, billionaire or millionaire windfall in Medicare. Why do we have one in Social Security? That alone would help you greatly smooth out that anticipated, you know, 2035 dip.
We have a question from a listener who says, why isn't Social Security a legally binding contract between the government and the citizens? It should be protected in that way.
Hmm.
It is a legally binding contract, isn't it? In that Congress allocated it created the program in the 1930s,
right.
Allocates the money for it, and says anybody who's eligible gets to be a beneficiary.
Yes, these guys, and they're mostly guys. I don't generally say a woman's name when we talk about the Doge people. They are so cavalier and so willfully disregarding of the law that it's creating a virtual cottage industry of firms that are crafting new theories for how they defend the program in court. So that's one of those theories. There are lawyers looking for, and I know there's been a suit filed on behalf of people with disabilities saying that all of this hobbling, this cutting of Social Security and doing away with its ability to serve customers is having a disparate impact on people with disabilities. So another one might be the contractual obligation.
And Lord knows how much the government will spend in court with all of the lawsuits.
And the illegal firings.
Yeah, just incredible. Martin O'Malley headed the Social Security Administration from December of 2023 till November of 2024. He served as the governor of Maryland from 2007 to 2015. He was the mayor of Baltimore before that. He's also been named to the Democratic Party's People's Cabinet earlier this month. Well, maybe sometime we'll talk about that. But thanks for coming by.
Hey,
I appreciate
thank you.
It. Always good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
And when we return from a quick break, it's Midday on the Environment. Where will Maryland get its energy as demand surges? I'll talk to an industry insider about the future of nuclear energy, offshore wind turbines, and other sources of electricity. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
This is 88.1 WIPR.